B-Pod Studios.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce, are Zdeno Chara and Matt Grzyk playing tonight?
There'll be game time decisions. They're on the ice now. That's a good sign. We've always said once they get out there, they're that much closer. So
both taking warm-ups? And what do you need to see to know that they can play?
Yeah, well, like I said, there'll be game time decisions. So they're out there now. I see how they feel at 7 or so tonight.
And here we go. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you from Bruins Fan Fest on Canal Street, the Boston Sports Grill, brought to you by Bud Light. Here as we get ready for Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals right down the street here at the Garden. And pretty big story developing here, and that is Zdeno Chara potentially playing with what we think is a broken jaw tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. He was out there on the ice today skating with a specially designed helmet for him that has no face shield, but has, for lack of a better term, a football-style
guard of some kind.
Guard, you know, plastic guard. But his eyes are open. These guys are so freaking nuts. He almost lost an eye the other night, but he can't be bothered with the shield, Murray and Maz. So he leaves the eyes open and the nose open, but has sort of like a chin guard down along his helmet. He's skating today, and you just heard Bruce Cassidy, game time decision. It's hard to think that he's going to go to that length and be there this morning, Maz, and not play tonight. And that would be quite a story if Zdeno Chara laces him up tonight for the Bruins.
I mean, look, I think you've got your answer. He's going to give it a shot, and then we'll see what happens. And does that mean he's going to play in every situation and that he's going to play, you know, 24 minutes? Or no, it doesn't mean that. But does it mean he's going to give it a whack and see what happens? I think that's where we are. If he doesn't play at this point, I'd be surprised. And look, selfishly, I'd be a little disappointed. And when I say disappointed, because I want to see it, I think it'd be a great moment. But, you know, to me, I thought we were headed here. Game 5, maybe a little quicker than I thought. But some of the stuff we talked about the other day, Mike, he's 42. This is probably it in terms of the chance at the Cup. You're at Game 5. If you're him, you're looking at it and saying, the high probability is that we're never going to be back here again.
This is it for him.
So if I'm going to never play in a Stanley Cup game again, is this how I want it to go? Or do I want to take a shot and put a cage on my face and see what happens? And I, you know, give it a shot, see what happens. To me, you carry 7 defensemen with him. Maybe the 7th is Grzyk. Maybe it's more. Like, maybe it's Grzyk and more. Like, you know, whatever it is, you take that shot and see how it goes.
I mean this in the most loving way possible. He's an absolute psycho. And if he does play tonight, even if it's a few minutes on a couple of PKs, it will go down as one of the great, and they win the game, one of the great stories in Boston sports history. And Lord knows we've got a ton of them at this point, and here's another one you can add to the pile.
We're on the verge of a moment.
Yeah, it's a moment.
We're on the verge of a moment.
No question.
We really are. And you can see it building, and it'll be a moment. It'll be a big one. And that's what we're building to. This guy, this psycho, as Murray says, NHL PR confirmed this afternoon that Chara can't talk or open his mouth. He will give written answers to a few questions this afternoon to a pool reporter. And so he hand wrote, or I would still type. I type faster than I write.
Right. Me too.
You know what I mean? I would still text it. But Zdeno Chara wrote today, "At this time of the playoffs, everyone has injuries, and there are challenges that you have to overcome to play. I'm no different than any player on either team. You don't think about," and then in parentheses, "further injury." I guess he was asked, do you worry about further injury? He says, "I don't think about it. You think about playing. You don't go into a game thinking you might get hurt." Zdeno Chara. Written responses because he can't open his mouth.
And
he's going to play tonight.
And I'm not laughing at him. I'm just laughing at how just absurd the toughness is of this guy and hockey players in general. Even if it was Game 6 he comes back. And still, look, it's up in the air, but it does, all signs point to him playing tonight. Game 6 would be a feat in of itself. That he's a couple of days removed from this, and he's out there and can't talk and he's going to play, it blows my mind. There's not much that really wows me in sports anymore. There really isn't. This wowed me.
And for the team, too, there's a message there to the Blues, right? Keep hitting us. We're coming back.
Right.
We're coming back.
Oh, you think you collected bodies?
And I know this injury wasn't the result of a hit, But again, Grzyk might be out there tonight, too. I haven't seen anything in the – I mean, I know that it sounds like they're leaning that way with him, too, right? Do we know that?
Yeah.
So but I think there's a message there of we don't care what we look like. We don't care how much it hurts. I don't care if my nose is sideways and my face is rearranged. I'm going to get on skates and I'm going to play game five. So if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us. Like that's – and I think there is a message in there like that. I think that – you know, whatever, and that I'm sure the team loves that part of it, that whatever jolt they can get out of Chara being out there, they are willing to take.
Okay, the Midday Show, Beadle and Zoe in the 10 o'clock hour did a great job today. They grabbed Jeremy Roenick, who felt overnight that Chara was going to play. And this, they did an interview with Roenick on the phone that was probably, I don't know, maybe just 10 minutes before Chara hit the ice. So this was even before Chara came out on the ice that we knew he was going to gear up and give it a shot. And Jeremy Roenick, Jimmy, number one, believed from this morning he expected Zdeno Chara to play.
I would expect him to play. I mean, I know a jaw is a tough thing to have to work through. I played with a broken jaw in 1998, and, you know, I was in the first round. I wasn't two wins away from the Stanley Cup. My mentality was you don't play with your face. I don't have to shoot with my face. I don't have to skate with my face. All you got to do is find a way to breathe. And if I know Zdeno Chara the way I think I do, he's going to do everything he can to try to get this last cup under his belt, and his face can heal after his career is over.
I mean, seriously, the mentality of these guys.
It's unbelievable. It's,
you don't play with your face. All you have to do is breathe.
Yeah.
Your face will heal when your career is over. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. As long as he can skate and shoot, that's all that matters.
Breathing's the issue.
Yeah, no. All you have to do is figure out a way to breathe. Imagine waking up saying that.
What a great line. What a great line by JR. That was topped only by the next one, Jimmy. Number two.
Pain goes away. Pride is forever. And hockey players don't care whether there's pain. At least some of them don't. Maybe a little bit more so in this generation. But Zdeno Chara is a different breed. And I don't think it's a pain aspect for him. You know, I think for him is to make sure that he can breathe, he can play right, and he doesn't bring his team down in his level of play. And that's where his decision is going to have to be made.
Okay. So, it's not about the pain of the broken jaw. It's about, is he hurting his team by being out there in the first place? And can he breathe? You know, we do want him to breathe. That's for sure. But as long as he can breathe, it sounds like he's going to be out there. I think we're also getting a few answers on what the hell was going on there the other night with him being on the bench. And, I threw this out maybe yesterday just as a guess because it really was unusual, this thing about Chara being on the bench the other night but not playing. And then this storyline of the, you know, emotional support and leadership role, which I he don't have to sit on the bench to do that. Like, to me, that's just not how it's done. And it's just that was very unusual for him to be out there just for emotional support or leadership when he couldn't even talk. I'm like, that just doesn't seem right. And then I said yesterday, maybe they were running from the concussion protocol. You know, because I've seen guys do this a lot.
Yeah.
When they get banged in the head and they don't want to get brought into the dark room and put in that concussion protocol, you stay on the bench. You stay on the bench. You don't play, but you stay on the bench. And if you stay on the bench, you're not officially dinged. They don't officially bring you into the dark room, and they don't officially put you in that protocol. I saw Krejci do it years ago for the Bruins. I saw Jonathan Toews do it against you in the 2013 Stanley Cup Final. This happens. And so I said that the other day. Maybe that's what Chara was doing, because that thing about being on the bench for the leadership and the warrior mentality, if that's what he was there for, it didn't work. Like, I just didn't get that from the start. But running from the concussion protocol or something, some sort of cat and mouse game like that, I wondered about that. And you heard these guys talk about it today. Give me JR3.
Right when you get a head injury or a facial injury, the first thing they're going to think of is concussion. And not knowing exactly how you're going to feel or, you know, how things are going to react right during game time to come back into a game. You know, he has had a couple days to, to kind of reset, see how his moods are, see how he feels. And I don't think it's because of his jaw why they didn't let him back. I believe that it was probably for concussion reasons that maybe there could have been a concussion getting hit in the face that hard. So those issues will be talked about at length more so than the if there is a crack in his jaw.
Huh. Concussion more than jaw. And is it just a team concussion thing? In other words, he's not in the protocol.
And by being out on the bench there, did he avoid going in the protocol?
Well, when you brought this up yesterday, I thought it was a good point. I hadn't even considered it.
To me, that's more logical than the, you know, moral support thing.
No, look, the team probably hit it that way, but ultimately there's a practical reason for them doing it the way they did it. Because, look, they've been through stuff with lots of players over the years, so they can make that decision. I think that's probably what it was.
So, I think even Cassidy gave it away today. Jimmy, play Cassidy number four. I think it's
with Chara, is it his call or is it the doctor's call at this point?
Well, the doctor has to give him the green light, then it'll be his call. If the doctor doesn't, then he has no say in the matter.
Okay, maybe it's number five, Jimmy. That might be my fault.
At what point did you find out that it might even be a possibility that the Char could play, and what does it say about him that is a possibility?
Well, I mean, he was never ruled out, even the other night in St. Louis. He was ruled out for that third period. I mean, we talked about that. After that, it was going to be day-to-day. I mean, the first thing you worry about is like a concussion, right? Because then you're into protocol. So we avoided that, or Z avoided that. So that was good news. And then it's a matter of, well, you know, what's next? So I guess yesterday we got a better idea. And then this morning, you know, he's here. Obviously, he's on the ice skating. So now it's real.
The first thing is the concussion protocol, and we avoided that.
Yep.
They sure did.
Interesting choice of words.
Yeah
avoid. Right?
So,
avoid.
To me, so I mean, that's just closing that loop. Because I found that. It was just unusual for him to be out there fully geared up like that and not play. And then the storyline afterwards, I don't know. I didn't buy it. It certainly didn't work if he was out there to inspire his teammates. They had in the third period, they were afraid to touch the puck, for crying out loud. But was it some sort of cat and mouse game with the concussion protocol? Perhaps, which just lends to the whole thing. So he's got a broken jaw and a concussion. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're really just worried about him breathing. If he can breathe, he's going to play.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, right? And meanwhile, to fulfill his media obligations, he writes down his answers today because he can't speak, because he can't open his mouth. We're on the verge of a moment. We're on the verge of a moment, and I think it's a pretty big one.
Oh, it's great. It's great stuff. I mean, really, again, it's further proof that you just see stuff in these playoffs, the NHL playoffs, that you do not see in other sports. Really unbelievable.
Okay, your thoughts, folks. 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz from Canal Street taking up until 7 o'clock and Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final.
It's Felger and Maz of Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light. It's Felger and Mass. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
I would expect him to play. I mean, I know a jaw is a tough thing to have to work through. I played with a broken jaw in 1998, and, you know, I was in the first round. I wasn't two wins away from the Stanley Cup. My mentality was, you don't play with your face. I don't have to shoot with my face. I don't have to skate with my face. All I got to do is find a way to breathe. And if I know Zdeno Chara the way I think I do, he's going to do everything he can to try to get this last cup under his belt. And his face can heal after his career is over.
Seriously, what a line. You don't play with your face, Maz. All you need to do is breathe.
I love that. That line to me is the best one. All you have to do is find a way to breathe.
Right.
Oh, all right. No problem. I got that part. I got to figure out how to breathe. Okay, let me see.
Okay. So I think we're on the verge of a moment. We're on the verge of a moment. Let's lead off with Frank the Tank. He deserves first billing. Go ahead, Frank.
Well, look, I want to get to Danton Heinen too, but I'll start off with Chara here. Look, I mean, if you ever want to know the definition of a man, he's wearing number 33 in black and gold. I mean, it just that if he plays tonight, I mean, talk about huevos grandes. And, you know, Andrew Ferentz said it about 10 years ago in a DVD that teams that go to the Stanley Cup and win the Stanley Cup don't win it unless they really, truly love each other. And I think he's showing his love for his teammates, so they better back his ass up tonight. But if they're going to go with 7D tonight, Mike, and they're going to have Grizzlick and Chara in there, I wouldn't be shy about, you know, putting Grizzlick or Torrey Krug up on the line with Krejci. I know it sounds a little bit out of the box, but at this point, what else do you have to go on? And I would keep Heinen out tonight, not Backes. Heinen hasn't done anything this series, and all Backes is here for is a physical presence. I think he can still maintain that through tonight's game, but you need Heinen to step up as well as DeBrusque. Where's the Amber Alert on those guys? You know what I mean?
Okay, so Heinen bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah, forget Heinen. Forget Heinen. You're not getting that.
You're not getting him out of the lineup.
No. I mean, you're not going to get anything out of him more than what he's giving you. It's just this is a big boy series. He can't hack that.
So, but let me just finish my statement.
Sorry.
Heinen bugs the crap out of me.
Sorry.
And it's all right. And Backes does not. Backes doesn't bug me. Heinen bugs me. Heinen's also better.
He is better.
You know, so it's like, believe me, Heinen's game in game four there in San Diego was gross. It was freaking gross. So, like, I have no emotional tie to that guy. If you benched him, I'd feel good about it. Except Backes does absolutely nothing. Heinen has made a few plays with that coil line. So it's hard for me to say keep Backes but put out Heinen. So I'm sorry.
When I say forget Heinen, I mean Frank expecting anything of him. To me, I leave Heinen in the lineup. But Frank saying you got to get more out of Heinen. Forget, if you're relying on Heinen, forget it. You're done. You're not going to get it out of Heinen. This is a big boy series. They're throwing their weight around. Some of it's not his fault. He's just not that strong. So these defensemen push him out of the way. There's a puck there. He falls down. That's just, again, not his fault. It's just this is not his series.
Yep.
DeBrusque is a little different to me because DeBrusque has got some grit. And he's got some strength. And he's got some drive. And, again, compared to DeBrusque last year, you know, driving to the net in that St. Louis series, like fearlessly going to the net. I haven't seen that.
You said St. Louis series. And what series last year, Mass?
Toronto.
In the Toronto
series. Toronto series, I'm sorry. And so, you know, I think there's a chance you could get more out of DeBrusque. And rather than move up Krug or Grizzlick to a forward position from time to time, which, look, I mean, you know, you're talking a three-game season here. I rule out nothing. But I would double shift Johansson. I would double shift Pasternak. Give those guys a different look. Give Krejci some people to play with that are actually forwards.
Yeah, and I would not play the D up at forward. I would not play Krug or Grzelcyk up at forward. I'm not doing that.
No, I me neither. I think that, you know, again, I rule out nothing when you get to this stage because it's all hands on deck in every scenario. But to me, I would rather double shift Johansson and Pasternak.
100%. Carmine in Connecticut. Yes, Carmine.
Yeah, hey, guys, I just want to make a quick comment. Love the show. I want to make a quick comment about Chara playing what it is right now. And I can't take full credit for this as much as I'd like to. I have to give it full credit to my brother, Kevin, who lives out in California. He listens to you guys religiously. This is going to be a big sports story. And the comparison that's going to be made to this when it's all said and done. Let's look back at 2004 and the bloody sock game Curt Schilling pitched for us in Game 6 of the ACLS. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of thing. It's that kind of moment. I don't know. We can rank it when it's done. If he does it, we can rank it. You know, it's going to, you know, you're going to need to win. You're going to need to win.
Correct. I was just going to say, remember, Schilling was dominant in that game.
And they won.
Right. It was 4-2, I think, they won. He pitched well. He went 7.
And they won. So these moments, the Willis Reed, the Curt Schilling, the you name it, you won. And the ones that endure, you win. And you also perform well. I don't know what Willis Reed did in 72, whatever year that was. But you've also got to be, if Zdeno Chara goes out there and is not effective,
it's a short-lived story. You say it's a valiant effort, but if he goes out, they win. Even if he doesn't even contribute all that much, but he's out there, then it's a historic moment.
People will connect them if they win.
Yeah. Of course, they should.
Yeah, they will connect them. And in the case of Willis Reed, Mike, I never looked this up, but my recollection is that he barely played.
Is that right?
I mean, yeah, I think he had nothing. They trotted him out there. He limped around a little bit.
It was just sort of the moment of him, you know.
Yeah, there was an emotional boost that the team got out of him.
Kirk Gibson.
Correct. Correct. Now, Gibson again, right, made a huge contribution in the game, but it was that kind of thing. Reed went out there and hobbled around, then they pulled him out, and that was it. Like, there was nothing more than that to it. And so, you know, I would even say if they use Chara selectively in this game, penalty kill. Take him out of harm's way. put him in the box, and now they're not necessarily going to be hitting him. You know, the puck on the boards is a different story, but it's a little safer in a penalty kill, and he's just occupying space. Great. I'm all for that.
Dan in Duxbury, do you agree with that particular take?
I agree with the take with playing him on the only penalty kill for the first two periods and get those solid 6-7 minutes out of him, and then just see what you can do with him in the third period when it really matters.
So just the PK until the third period. I'm not doing that either. I'm putting him out there with McAvoy on the first shift, and if he looks right, he plays, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. I'm not, you know, like, I'm going to just wait and see what it looks like.
Yeah, so that's probably what they'll do. But I'm saying if he can play 25 minutes, boy, now you get a story. Wow. Like, I just don't know how realistic that part of it is. And I've tried to talk to a couple of guys in addition to, you know, obviously we got Roenick sound, but guys who played with broken jaws and things of the like, and they do say the breathing's the hardest part.
Breathing.
The breathing. Because you just can't breathe. You can't breathe. Like, you know, you're not conditioned to dealing with it, and so it's a whole new adjustment.
These freaking guys.
But this guy is Drago. I mean, he's Ivan Drago. That's who he is. He's, you know, Ivan Drago. He's a different kind of animal. He's a total robot.
Joe in Plymouth, what do you think is going to happen tonight? Joe in Plymouth, set you up perfectly. His comment line says Blues are going to target Char tonight.
Yes.
Shouldn't they?
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that fair?
Yes.
Are we going to cry about that? Or is
no.
that, that's what this is at this time of year?
And Chara knows it.
Of course.
Chara knows it. I mean, you want to play, you play. That's the whole kit and caboodle. You don't just get to say, well, I'm going to play, but you can't hit me. No. You play. You play the game. That's what you do. You go out there, and all the elements that are there, you play. So, again, some of that's going to come down to Cassidy, right? Like you said, they put him out there for the first shift, and he doesn't look good. Then you don't keep putting him out there.
But, the fact that he... His helmet thing, right? So when he came out the other night, he had the full face shield and the full chin guard and that whole thing. It was a whole apparatus that covered his whole face. Today, he just had the chin thing, and the eyes and the top of his schnoz were open, which is, to me, such a tell that he's, you know, he's been playing around with the helmet the last couple days because he's this animal. You know, he easily could have lost an eye there. Right? If that puck deflects up another 4 or 5 inches, he loses his eye.
Sure.
And he didn't even care about that. Like, you know, like, that's not a wake-up call to him to say, all right, well, I'll wear the shield because that easily could have lost an eye. Right? No. He's never played with the shield. He's grandfathered in. He doesn't have to wear a shield. He's used to playing that way. That's where he feels he plays his best and his vision stays the same. So F the shield. I ain't wearing this. You want to cover my chin? Let's cover my chin, but no shield. But it tells me that he's, you know, it's just another tell that I think he's playing.
Yeah. No, look, again, I think he's going to give it a shot. When we started talking about it the other day, it sort of popped into my head. The discussion we had, he's 42. This is it, dude. I mean, there's 99.9% chance this is it. If you're him, you're going to go out that way? Or do you say, I got to try. I got to give it a shot, and we'll see what happens. And so... I I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked that he's given it a try. If he can play effectively, I'll be surprised.
Here's Taylor in Sacramento. Yes, Taylor.
Yeah, okay. Look, I know Zdeno Chara is a breed apart from everybody else, and I know this is probably not a popular opinion, but do we think that we're going to get more out of Zdeno Chara tonight than any of his games in the finals? And if we don't, aren't we better off putting somebody else in there who's maybe a little bit faster, quicker, get out of our zone? We have to win this game. It's not a good story if we lose.
I agree. It's not a good story if you lose. You know, and it really almost reflects on you. Like, your captain, your 42-year-old captain, does this, puts himself through that to play, and you come out and lay an egg? And then it's almost like it's a worse loss than it would have been if he doesn't play. So, but to me, this goes back to a bigger picture question. Are you better off without Zdeno Chara? And I don't think you are.
No, I don't either, because I don't think their alternatives are good. So, you know, if this were a situation where you'd say, you know, you had everybody healthy and Kevin Miller were in there, and would you be better off? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But in this case, who are we talking about? Stephen Kampfer? All due respect to Stephen Kampfer or Urho Vaakanainen or whoever. Like, this is worth a shot. And I do like the idea of carrying the 7th D, whether it's Grizzlick. Obviously, Moore would be in uniform, too. You take Backus out, so effectively, Chara goes in for Backus. That's the way you got to look at it. And Grizzlick comes back. And take a chance. You can get by without David Back. If David Back is being out, cost you the Stanley Cup, that's no good.
Okay, Murray, with an update. Tom Brady spoke today down at Gillette. Not sure if you're going to hear it here. You'll hear it throughout the course of the show, though. Murray, with an update for you, and we're right back here from Canal Street.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light, Felger, and Mass, on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game three goes to Toronto. The Raptors with a balanced scoring attack led by 30 from Kawhi Leonard, 23 from Kyle Lowry, and their top six players all in double figures. Offset, an undermanned Warriors squad that had 47 from Stephen Curry, 17 from Draymond Green, but not much else after that. Final score, Toronto 123, Golden State 109. The Raptors lead the 2019 NBA Finals 2-1.
Just a real quick Bruins breather here. NBA Finals thought from last night. Maz, Stephen Curry's all alone, and he can't win at home. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not going to gloat because they were undermanned. I mean, no one guy can't win it by himself, whether it is Draymond Green or not. He's obviously missing Durant, but beyond that, Klay Thompson's a big one. I mean, Klay Thompson's a guy that matches up with Kawhi Leonard and offers a secondary, consistent secondary scoring. So, I don't think last night necessarily proves anything, but I will say that one of my points all along in defining a true franchise player, and I admit that this is, as you would put it, threading a needle, are guys that can impact the game on both ends of the floor. So Curry offensively is a wizard. The guy's tremendous. Like some of those shots he made last night, off the charts good. He was a -8. So he scored 47. He was a -8. And there was one play in particular late where he ended up on Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard just backed him down, turned around, flipped it off the glass, and in. And that was it. There was nothing Steph Curry could do about it. And to me, that was sort of that highlighted the deficiency in Curry. I like this series the way it's going because it's more entertaining this way. I mean, if Golden State's all loaded for bear, and what are they? They win in five games and it's over?
You actually don't know who's going to win this.
Correct.
You really don't.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is. In that league, it's a rarity.
You actually don't know.
First time in a while. So it's been entertaining on that standpoint. For me, I'm surprised how well some of these role players I don't believe in on Toronto's end have played.
Oh,
they've played really well.
I'm with you 100%, Murray. This is what stands out to me. And not that I watched the whole thing wire to wire last night, but, the parts that I watch, it felt like Golden State was down 13 the whole time.
Yeah.
It felt like they were like that's where it was stuck the whole game. It just felt like, and then they'd go on like a little mini run and get it to 7 or 9 or something like that. And then the Raptors would come down and some bum, heretofore bum, Kyle Lowry,
Van Vliet,
this Greta Van Vliet fella.
Danny Green.
And so like the number of timely clutch sort of run-stopping three-pointers that I saw that Raptors team hit last night. I'm like,
absolute daggers. That's the best way to put it. Like, they'd get it within 7. It's like, okay, here comes Golden State. And, like, right down the floor, bang. Like, oh, boy. Like, they just really couldn't ever get it that close.
Because someone came down, and sometimes it was Kawhi. But, he's infectious.
Green and Lowry last night were the two to me. It's like, really? These guys? Especially Lowry. I hate his game. He, fancies himself a poor man's Chris Paul, who I really can't stand anyway, whining for fouls. Chipping guys, trying to fall, falling in for fouls while he's taking the shot. Like, he just drives me crazy.
But I saw it against Milwaukee. All of a sudden, he's become like a clutch little side piece.
Who, Lowry?
Yes.
He's had his moments in his career. He has. I got to go back now 4 or 5 years in the playoffs, but there was one series in there, and heaven knows, I can't remember. But he was clutch, and he hit some big shots to win it, and I can't remember who it was against now.
So, Lowry 5 for 9 from 3. Danny Green 6 for 10. Van Vliet 3 for 6.
Van Vliet to me is a more surprising one. Green can snipe.
So those three guys, he was cold, but he goes cold, man. Those three guys were almost 60%.
Yeah.
Those three guys, and so that's how the game felt.
On the road.
That's how the game felt to me, that all of a sudden, here comes Golden State, here comes Golden State, and one of those guys would come down and hit a three, not even Kawhi Leonard. And I'm like, who are those guys? I mean, I know who they are. What I mean is, who are you to all of a sudden start hitting these big shots when for years you couldn't do anything in this spot? And I think it's sort of Kawhi Leonard rubbing off. All right, there's a little Bruins breather for you, a little NBA thought. We'll mix in a Patriots thought later on and a Red Sox thought later on as well. But back to you, as promised. Let's grab Fred in the car. What do you got, Fred, on the Bruins tonight?
Yeah, great story with Char. It would be a terrible series if he didn't play, win or lose about it, lose a big storyline. But the thing I was worried about was game two was about 50 degrees out, and the ice looked crap. And I'm wondering if any of you guys have an update on the ice. I haven't heard anything about it. But I think I know both teams play with the ice, but it definitely affects the Bruins far more, I think, in this game if the ice is bad, if not worse, than game two.
So here's your ice update. It sucks. And I don't care if it's 70 degrees out or 30 or 80. It sucks. It sucks no matter what the temperature. It sucks. If the warmer, it gets a little worse, but it's never good. And I think it does work against the Bruins. But I don't know. Maybe someone could tell them this is another reason just to simplify and get the puck on the freaking net and stop trying to make 18 different passes and side passes and drop passes and cross seam passes. Because even if they're there, they're not getting through because of the ice. So put it on net.
Yes. Again, you got to play a simpler game, and that probably does help out the Blues. I mean, they got a pretty, you know, elementary game when you get right down to it. But the weak link on the Blues is the goalie. Get pucks to him. In fact, if you want to bounce a couple in there, do that too, because he might look like freaking Rafael Devers there trying to field those things.
Will in New Hampshire, what do you got?
So a quick question and then a comment. So for a question, in this series, or even in the whole playoffs with the poor officiating, you've seen very reactionary games. You know, a missed hand pass and then there's five calls the next night. Do you expect the first embellishment penalty to be called tonight, and does that settle it up? And then one quick comment with David Price. I heard he was talking about Char earlier. Hold on, let's see if I can find him. Oh, yeah. I don't understand.
I'm just going to drop you. You said, what if David Price had a broken jaw? We wouldn't see him for 2 months. We don't have to compare sports. It's self-evident what these hockey guys do. It's not even worth discussing. They're a different breed, and they prove it every year. The first thing that he said that I did want to comment on, and of course, it left my brain.
I don't remember it.
Someone,
either.
Come on.
I know. What the hell was it? All I remember is the
No, place. I'm not doing anything till someone tells me what it was.
I don't remember either.
I don't care if Jimmy has to rewind it. This is so annoying.
Jimmy, rewind it.
Honestly. I'm not sitting up. I'm not doing anything.
I blame you because your attention span is better than everyone else's.
Mine sucks.
You should. What?
No. I mean,
So you should be able to hold on to it.
No. I can stay, when I'm speaking, I can stay focused and, you know, on topic. When someone gives me two things to listen to, the call bugged me, but I really didn't want to hit on that.
I'm ready when you are.
Go ahead. Will in New Hampshire, what do you got?
So a quick question and then a comment. So for a question, in this series, or even in the whole playoffs with the poor officiating, you've seen very...
Okay, stop. Officiating, yeah. This was a good point.
Embellishment penalties. I doubt it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it because I think both teams have fallen into the trap. Started with the Bruins, and then the Blues took it up a notch that next game, I think, or it's, you know, whatever. They're diving around out there. So to me, in all sports, when I'm commissioner of sports, I'm going to increase dramatically the number of embellishment penalties in all sports. I'm going to wipe it out. So you will never get a complaint from me when a ref calls you for embellishment. I hate when they match it up. It's stripping and embellishing. Well,
it's either or.
Okay, so I don't expect it. Here's your refereeing thought. It's back to Kelly Sutherland and Steve Cazzari.
I mean, it feels like they're just alternating.
They are. So here's the deal. With Sutherland and Cazzari, they've called, and I had the numbers in front of me before. I'll get them to you exactly. But Sutherland and Cazzari call it tight. They've called more penalties than the other crew, which is the Rooney kid from South Boston, and I can't remember who his partner is. But there's just been two different referee crews, and they've gone back and forth. Sutherland and Cazzari were games 1 and 3. Rooney and his partner were games 2 and 4. You won games 1 and 3. They called more penalties 1 and 3 than 2 and 4. And now you're back to Sutherland and Cazzari. And if this goes this way the entire series, you'll also get them game 7. So that's all you need to know. Special teams benefits the Bruins. I even think when they lose the power play battle, it still benefits the Bruins. In fact, in game 3, when Sutherland and Kazari called, you know, 15 penalties. It was stupid, but they called 15 penalties. It was 8 on the Bruins, 7 on St. Louis. You were actually underwater there. It still benefits you. It still benefits you because if the refs are in the mindset to call penalties and square them off, or we just called one on them, so we have to call one on you, that benefits you because your PK is better, your power play is better, you're a better special teams team, and the more special teams opportunities that are out there, the better off you are.
Less 5-on-5 time.
Period. Story over. The Blues have beaten you 5-on-5. You've won special teams. So whether the calls go against you or for you, they'll end up pretty even at the end of the night. That's generally what they do. So you want the arms in the air, which sucks. That's what we never used to be around here, but that's what it's become. Special teams benefit you.
Yeah, again, less 5-on-5 time, and I think that helps the Bruins. So if I'm them, I'd take that, absolutely. Not to mention the fact that the Blues have allowed more shorthanded goals than any team in the playoffs.
Okay, here you go. So there's your referee thought. Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Mass, the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market Booth, sponsored by Bud Light on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Mass from the Star Market Booth at the Boston Sports Grill. The Stanley Cup Finals. The only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pain goes away, pride is forever. And hockey players don't care whether there's pain. At least some of them don't. Maybe a little bit more so in this generation. But Zdeno Chara is a different breed. And I don't think it's a pain aspect for him. You know, I think for him is to make sure that he can breathe, he can play right, and he doesn't bring his team down in his level of play. And that's where his decision is going to have to be made.
Again, that's more from Jeremy Roenick. His great interview today with the Midday Show. Catch that, the full interview at 98.5thesportshub.com, the app. Good job by those guys getting him today. Roenick called it from the beginning. He thinks Chara's playing tonight. And that's not official, so let's just, you know, give it to you like that. But that certainly feels like where this is trending, that Chara is going to play tonight. And pain goes away, pride's forever. Mass, pretty good line by JR right there.
I like it. In fact, that feels like a t-shirt if they win the thing, right?
I'm sure someone's looking to, maybe Brady's looking to trademark that too.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm sure he's played through pain.
Jim in Connecticut, what do you got for us?
Hey, I'm not a Chara backer, and I do think it's really inspiring for the team and all, and the fans, you know, Chara being out there. But, I mean, you look across the ice, do you think the Blues are really like, oh, my God, Chara's playing? I mean, one thing I've wanted Chara this whole series is for him to answer all the physical play, which I don't think he's done, really. And I can't foresee him throwing his body around now. He can't breathe, so what, he's going to be a little bit slower? But great, we really need him to be slower. He can't talk. I mean, one of the things is communicating with your D partner. So is he just going to be a mute out there with his D partner? I mean, it might be a little thing, but little things. And I'd just rather have a Johnny Moore healthy out there more than Chara.
So you think he's hurting the team by being out there?
I think there's a healthy defenseman would be better. Like I said, it's inspiring-wise, getting the team up, but that's short-lived, I think. I think that's a good start. But, you know, if he should perform, I don't think he's the offensive player that he used to be. He's not going to give you offense. I agree with being on the
team. Okay, Jim, I'll stop you. I mean, it's a fair point.
Sure it is.
You know, someone else popped on the comment line before, and he dropped, but his comment line side. His comment line said, is Chara going to be Bill Buckner? Now, Bill Buckner was hurt, shouldn't have been out there, inspirational that he was giving it a shot. They did it for him, you know, his legacy, da-da-da-da-da. And that's obviously someone playing hurt or wasn't ready to play, and it worked against you. So I think that's a fair thing to bring up.
Yeah, it was also a manager going against his principles and something that he'd done all year, right? So, like, people blame the manager. And what I'm saying is, some of this is going to be on Cassidy. I mean, if Chara plays poorly, you got to pull him. Like, this is something that Cassidy has to make clear when he talks to Chara about it. I'm assuming they will have a conversation. He's got to say to him, hey, Z, look, we're going to give this a go. Okay, fine. But if you can't get it done, I got to pull you. You have to know that. And so then it becomes in part on the coach. So if you want to say...
Yeah, but I don't think Chara's going to fight him on that if it comes to that. He's already proven himself to be a great teammate because he won't refer to rookies as rookies. I think if he's got to go, he'll sit.
Yeah, so I hope you're right, Murray. But the point is, I guess, ultimately, is there a chance that this could hurt them?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, there is, and they're going to have to make that call in real time.
But I don't look at it as, like, selfish because that's what I perceive from that call. I mean, do you think Zdeno Chara is actually kind of selfish because he's going to try to play tonight? Like, I don't look at it that way at all. I'd rather have him at 40 or 50% rather than John Moore.
Well, me too.
I think you're going to get both.
But to me, I think you're being obtuse if you don't think there's some selfish element to him. I mean, we keep saying that he's 42. He's probably, odds are they're not going to get back here. This is his last chance for a cup. He's going into the Hall of Fame. And it just tastes a lot better with a multi-Stanley Cup winner versus the one-off Stanley Cup. And so he wants another cup at this stage of his career. I mean, that's if you want to call that selfish, you can call it selfish, but there is an element to that. Just be honest.
I mean, I don't think there's any question there is. But again, I always go back to, I don't worry about the guys who want to play generally. I worry about the guys who don't.
Yeah.
Right? So a guy wanting to play is normal. They're all a little selfish. Of course, they want to be out there. They want the heat of the moment. They want the competition. Most of them want that. It's the guy that doesn't that you should really worry about.
We've got Bobby in Billerica. Go ahead, Bobby. What do you got?
Bobby! He's really good.
Bob, you got to call us back, okay? You got to pay attention. We're taking phones. Anthony on Cape Cod. Go.
How you doing? Okay, so have you noticed the amount of commercials in the Stanley Cup? It's crazy, right? And there's long commercials. That gives you the chance to roll three lines. Okay, so I was saying the other day, move Coyle and Johansson, Tony, not or, both up with Krejci. Then you got Crowley on your third line. One thing with Pastrnak, speaking of the commercials, you know that Dunkin' Donuts commercial they keep rolling with him in the box every time there's an icing? Well, look for the new one tonight. He's got a new sponsor. It's Vagisil. So there's going to be a Pastrnak Vagisil commercial. Or Summer's Eve, one or the other. It's going to be maybe back and forth on that.
Okay. So Coyle and Johansson with Krejci. The whole thing of that line is Coyle at center.
Yeah.
So you're taking Coyle. Coyle's been arguably your best player. He's arguably been your best player this series. I think he's been the most consistent five-on-five player for you this series, you know, other than Rask. You know, so why are you – now you're going to play Coyle at wing?
No, I don't mess with that.
Or you play Krejci at wing for the first time in 6 years or whatever. Come on. Stop with this.
No, I don't do that. And again, I just rotate some wings in there. I'm on the right side. I leave DeBrus there. Because at the end of the day, DeBrus has got to give you something. He's got to give you more than he's given you. And you can't ask too much of the... What are you going to rely on? 10 forwards the whole night? That's not enough.
Tom in the truck. Go.
Yeah, not only is Chara going to play and play fairly decent, he's going to beat the bag out of somebody on the ice, too.
Okay, would love to see that. Then you make it count. I hope you don't mean fight. Like, that ain't going to happen. But if he's out there throwing his weight around, then that even, you know, that's what you're talking about. For him just to be out there in a ceremonial role, now that doesn't help anyone. That is selfish and that is useless. He's got to be out there and really playing.
Yeah, no, he has to play. Yeah, he's got to play, and he's got to give you some minutes. Now, again, I just think you can manage it a little bit. That's all, because I don't know whether he can give you 25 like he normally would alongside McAvoy. I don't think you're going to get that. I think that from time to time, Cassidy's going to have to look at it and say, okay, you know, he needs a blow here. I'm going to put more out there and then give more a couple of turns and a couple of shifts or whatever and then switch back. And certainly you can play Chara on penalty kill. That probably eases the wear and tear on him a little bit. And, you know, and go from there. And if you're on the power play lot, he'll get a built-in break there anyway.
Okay, how does Cassidy plan to juggle his lineup? He gave some insight to that today. We'll hear from that. You'll hear from Cassidy coming up after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.